Any notes you had on church or plans on how to do it, toss them out the door right now. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I know the youth had some things ready to go. I'm changing it a little. I'm getting really bad looks back there, so. We've already mentioned a little bit that Amy graduated not too long ago, and then Pastor Doug mentioned that Whitney graduated. But I want to recognize the rest of our graduates. They're not all here right now, but I want to recognize them now, and then it'll segue into what's going to happen a little bit. So, Amy, come on out here. Amy graduated on Wednesday night, and Danielle, come on up here. She's not going to like this at all. But Danielle graduated from Danielle, Jonathan Collier, got to clarify this because there's so many Johns in here, Andrew and Chris Buendicho graduated on Thursday night, and then the other person, and he hasn't been here for a while, but he also graduated, his name is Jake Lutton, some of you will remember him. So we have actually 8 people who just graduated this year, so... Let's see, Whitney, you're going to college in Texas, and Jonathan is not sure yet. I'll say a little bit that I know I'm going to need to. He went to Clackamas Community College. He wants to play baseball. And some of you will know this, he was actually the 5A player of the year. My understanding is that as soon as we're done here today, you are getting in a car with Andrew, and you guys are driving down to California. Is that correct? Okay, they're going to go down to Eureka, California, to go and kind of try out and take a placement exam, wanting to possibly go to college there in Eureka. So they're driving. It's about a 10-hour drive, and they're leaving when church is over, and tomorrow morning at 8:45 in the morning, they have placement exams. Yeah. Be praying for them. Sleep on the car. And then my understanding is tomorrow they're doing their placement exams and kind of a tryout and doing these other things, and they're driving back tomorrow night. That's my understanding. Boy, the things young people will do. Okay. Amy, for those of you who don't know, has committed 1 year to kind of go to Honors Academy, which is part of Teen Mania, and she's going to kind of serve missions field here in the United States, working with Teen Mania in Minnesota. And she doesn't know exactly what else she'll be doing. Part of it will entail answering phones. A month ago or so, the youth went to Fire the Fire. Teen Mania is in charge of that. And all kinds of other things. So Amy will spend 1 year in Minnesota kind of working with Teen Mania and the Honors Academy, and then hopefully coming back here, at least for a little bit, right? Okay. So they're actually starting together even though he graduated last year. It's been a year. Okay, who have I left off? Curtis, who is not here right now, is in the youth group. And she is going to spend the summer in New York, kind of hanging out there and figuring some things out. And then she'll come back, and she's not sure what she's going to do after that. Chris Buendicho, who is AJ's younger brother, AJ's sitting in the back, his brother has joined the Marines. And on July 21st, he will be leaving here to go to boot camp and all the other things. And so somewhere along the line, I hope to have him come and join us. AJ? Okay, AJ shaking his head. We will get him here, and so we will have a time of kind of commissioning and send him off and praying for him as he goes to serve our country in the Marines. Exact same thing that Jonathan doing. The two of them were like inseparable. Except his parents are in town, and his parents said, "You have to go with us because your niece is having a baby dedication, so you have to be there. Otherwise, he would be here today as well." So that's Andrew. And The last one is Jake, and I'm not sure exactly. I haven't been able to contact Jake, so I'm not sure what he's planning on doing.
He's going to Eastern Oregon.
Western Oregon.
Western?
No. He's going to either Western Oregon or Eastern Oregon. He's going to go to Western Oregon and hopefully play baseball?
He's done.
No baseball. He says he's done with baseball, but he's going to go to Western Oregon down in Salem and attend college down there. So these, don't leave yet, but these are four of our eight graduates. So thank you all. And what we do have for you are Bibles, 2008 graduate Bibles for you, so you're welcome. Take them. Enjoy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Okay, as I mentioned, about a month ago, the youth went to a rally that they have in the area every year. It's called Acquire the Fire. And this year, the rally, the theme of it was Let Your Voice Be Heard. And we stood up here real briefly as a youth. You know, there were 33 of us who attended this. Some of those who were here, we stood up here and told you a little bit about it. And we threw the hook out there and said that once I got back from the Philippines, we would get up here and tell you a little bit more about it. These four who stood up here and have just graduated and are ready to move on, and a couple others who moved on last year and the year before that, and several others of the youth, are going to come up here and share with you about Acquire the Fire and what they experienced and where they're at with that. For me, it's kind of like a time of release. Taking our youth, Lisa and I have been here for about 8 years now as the youth pastors, and some of them, I remember when they started junior high, and I've worked with them the whole way through, and so for me right now, it's kind of like taking little birds that I have helped to grow and to nurture, and now taking my hands and tossing the air and letting them fly. So, that's what they're going to do today. They're going to stand up here. I know in the past, a couple of them have, you remember, and I sat up here with them, or stood up here with them. I'm not doing that today. Pray for them as they share what God has laid on their hearts, the message that God has for them. I was gone for 3 weeks. I have no idea where they're going. But God will use them. And this is a time for us as a congregation to listen to our youth, listen to the message that God has put on their hearts. And as we have spent, for some of them, you know, we've spent these 18 years helping to grow them and to nurture them and to help them become the young men and women that God wants them to be, today they will stand up here and show you what God has done and what God is doing in their lives and will continue to do. But before they come up, let's have a word of prayer for them, and then I will step off and let them have at it. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Lord, thank you for our youth, for their lives. And Lord, right now, I commit this place to you. As our young people, come up here and share what you have been doing in their lives and what you will continue to do in their lives. Lord, it may be a little bit different. It may be not what we are accustomed to. But it is still your message. And it is still your word. And these young people have been ordained by you for this very moment to share your word with us. So, Father, right now I ask that you calm their hearts, relax their minds, allow them to speak your words. Allow them to be your ambassadors of good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Get drunk, get drunk, get drunk.
looking at the love, ain't trying to pop stuff. Heard your pops locked up, baby sister knocked up. All your old boys from the block is getting shot up. I feel your pain, homie. I got the same story. But since you came to Christ, you got to bring his name glory. No more living in the darkness, no more living heartless. Cause you got that Holy Spirit dwelling inside your carcass. Your life been changed up, rearranged up. You've been reborn and you don't have to do the same stuff. You live regenerate, you get the benefit of Christ crucified. But you got to live in it, got to be human, and the forgiveness is unlimited. But stop and
represent, get drunk, represent, get drunk. Jesus, go ahead and throw it up. Represent, get drunk. Represent, get drunk. If you know you reppin' Jesus, go ahead and throw it up. Represent, get drunk. Represent, get drunk. If you know you reppin' Jesus, go ahead and throw it up. Represent, get drunk. Represent, get drunk. If you know you reppin' Jesus, go ahead and throw it up.
From the plant to the drop to the birds, calling out to the cats who be dropping the word. Representing Christ, I'd shame share his life. Catching black force box in the world to the cats that represent him well. Come on, put the cross on the move. As a reaching for the cats, is stepping in the hell while big balls in his shoes. Got the cats to make balls in new coups. Snagging hook raps, doing the do. Hacking a fool with a chicken, that finger pulling the trigger with vigor. Can make him bigger, need to get in with the cops, great nigga. You're living life for sin, the way Jesus is dead. Living by the gun, that's the way in the dead. But if you're living the life and living it right, put your fist in the sky with all of your might till you're way out of breath. Chest bumping all hard due to heavy fabrication. Thirsting for the Lord with heavy elevation. But you ain't far, you're a pull us in a car. You love the Lord and his habit of salvation. Repping like Stephen. Getting stoned for the stone you believe in, or slinking the stone into the dome for the heathen feel of steaming.
Represent, get drunk, represent, get drunk. If you know you reppin' Jesus, go ahead and throw it up. Represent, get drunk, represent, get drunk. If you know you reppin' Jesus, go ahead and throw it up. Represent, get drunk, represent, get drunk. If you know you reppin' Jesus, go ahead and throw it up. Represent, get drunk, represent, get drunk. If you know you reppin' Jesus, go ahead and throw it up.
My friends,
fear,
embarrassment,
rejection,
my ego,
my parents,
fear of failure,
distractions,
lack of time.
Confusion. Everything that you just heard, every one of these reasons, every one of these excuses, whatever it may be, are things that hold us back from talking about Christ every day to our peers, to our parents, to anybody that doesn't know Christ, anybody that doesn't believe in him. You know, and it's just, it's time for us to stand up and it's time for us to let our voice be heard, because if we don't talk about it, who's going to talk about it? You know, you got to take Christ to the city, and it's time to stand up, it's time to hear, let them hear our battle cry.
Approximately 65% of the U.S. population were Bible-believing Christians. The next generation, that number decreased. 35% of the next generation were Bible-believing Christians. And as the generations continued, the numbers still dropped. 16% of the next generation were Bible-believing Christians. Today's generation, 4% are Bible-believing Christians. That is one out of 25 people are Bible-believing Christians. And if that one person isn't speaking, isn't letting their voice be heard, then those numbers aren't very good for the other 24. So the song that you heard was Represent by Lecrae, and it talks about telling people about Jesus and letting your voice be heard and getting the message out. Ourselves, the numbers are going to continue to drop.
All right, so it says in Romans 1:16. If you want to get your Bibles and look it up real quick, give me a second. So, Romans 1:16 reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of anyone who believes it."
The video that you just saw was an example of what might happen. And no, the ground is not literally going to crumble beneath our feet, I'm guessing. But at the same time, if we're not reaching people, then they're going to fall. And we're going to lose an entire generation. And if we lose this generation, my generation, what's going to happen to the next generation when there's nobody to teach them? So it is vital that we reach this generation, that my generation, that our generation be reached and be brought to Christ. Because if we don't, then there's no hope for any of the generations to come.
And it's like, we have to let our voice be heard, because it's so often, and I know I'm one of these people, and I'm not going to call anybody out or anything, but we go out and we come to church on Sunday and we parade ourselves as being the holy of holy. It's like Sunday we gain prudence, you know? And it's like Monday through Saturday, we're on a totally different schedule. We're out there, we're wearing the world as our shirt, you know? And then we come in here and like we lay everything down at God's feet for one day a week. And all he's asked, I mean, he died on the cross for us. I mean, all he's asking us to do is give him 7 days a week, 24/7, just give him our time, you know? And well, we were at a Choir of the Fire, there's a statistic out there that out of a whole group of people, 98% of them would be the followers. They'd be the sheep, they're getting led around, they're getting their views swayed and everything. And then the 2% would be the actual dreamers. And and so, like what we learned about was that there's, the world's not set up for the dreamers. The world's set up for a few people to lead and everyone else to fall in line and follow it. You know, and so the world is, it's out there to get us. And I mean, like the minute you accept Christ, it's not going to be the walk in the park. It's not going to be sunshine and birds singing. You're putting a target on yourself, you know, for public. And then a lot of people don't take kindly to Christ, you know, because they're scared and they know what his power can do and how it can reform one's life. And so the world's set up with dream killers, and they're like,
A few of them are like distractions that we encounter, like our internet life. Like I spend a majority of my weekends at home on MySpace because it's an escape. And I mean, it's, no, I don't have to interact. I don't have to be stressed out. I could just sit there and check messages and stuff. And then, I mean, dumbed down reading like magazines and stuff. You can just sit there and you can have an artificial encounter with life, and you don't have to struggle, and you don't have to get out and try and live your dream and try and like, I mean, preach to people. You don't have to reach people. You can stay at home and just hide and be distracted by what life gives you.
Yeah, and then some other things are like the music that we listen to, because I know personally that I'm not listening to Lecrae and I'm not listening to Ray Bolts 24/7. I don't listen to the Gaither Band when I'm cruising down MLK, you know? And I mean, personally, I know that's a fact. And I mean, I know that's one thing that detours me in my walk from God is the music I listen to, because, yeah, I'm attracted to the Lil Waynes. I'm attracted to the 50 Cents and stuff like that out there. But God doesn't want a 50% Christian. He wants somebody that's burning hot for him all the time. If you're lukewarm, he'll spit you out of his mouth. He'd rather either have you burning hot for him or have you cold as ice. And like other things that get in the way are family and friends, because I know that like, personally, a lot of my friends don't know about Christ. And a lot of them are tied up in things that aren't church appropriate, you know. But we got to look past that. We can't let the dream killers kill our dreams. We have to stand up there and take charge and let them hear our battle cry, like the video said. And then
we got some people who want to share their distractions now that they just had earlier.
Okay, so as some of you may or may not know, my parents are atheists. So it's really hard for me to be able to be accepted by them and coming here. And it's really hard for me to go out and reach other people because I want my parents' approval so bad. And I want to be a daughter that you can be proud of. And it hurts. The thing that I had on my name tag was distractions, because a lot of times things like friends and stress and school and work and family, everything gets in the way and you get busy and you start forgetting about God and what you're supposed to be like living for. So a lot of times you get distracted and those things can get you so busy and stressed out that you forget what you're living for and like what your life is supposed to be, and you forget to reach out to other people and bring your friends to Christ.
What I wrote down for my distraction was my father. My father, it's really hard talking to him because he doesn't really believe in the word of the Christ. And so it's really hard to voice my opinion at times because I feel like he doesn't understand. So I feel like I need to make my own journey and I need to let my voice be heard.
I know personally my distraction, definitely my friends and the people I work with, because for you guys who don't know, I spend a semi-fair amount of time at Brother and Sisters Keepers, which is a gang intervention program and stuff like that. And so I'm constantly around the people that I came to church to get away from, you know. And so it's kind of like it's like always like that pull and that tug at me right now, because like I try to bring them to Christ, but then I get caught up in their problems, you know, and I get sucked into, oh, well, I know him from back in the day, so I should probably back him up in his and like we really don't look at the consequences.
My thing that holds me back, or that held me back, is rejection. And the fact that so many teenagers spend so much of their lives trying to please everybody else and trying to make sure that, you know, everyone's happy with them and that they're what everybody else wants them to be. But, I mean, if you spend your life trying to please everybody else, you're never going to do it. So I've kind of learned that there's only one person you have to please, and that's God. And if other people aren't happy with it, they're not the ones who are going to be judging you. You know, they're not the ones whose opinions matter. And so it's best to just, you know, not fear rejection, because God said that it's going to be hard and people are going to turn you away and they're going to, you know, persecute you. You got to push through it.
Okay, so take your Bibles and turn to the first letter of Timothy. It's in the end. Okay. Timothy 4, verse 12 says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. A lot of times teenagers get judged or put into generalization as troublemakers, because most of our generation are, and a lot of us are obnoxious and cause problems and start trouble, and a lot of people look down on us and think that we can't accomplish very much because of the other people around us. But we need to get credit for our faith, because we can't be underestimated. We can't let that stop us, because if that's all it takes to get in the way of our faith, then there's no hope. Like, if we can't stand up to something as simple as one person looking down on us, then how are we going to stand up to all the people who don't believe and all the people with their arguments and their debates that don't believe in God? We need to know, like, what we're going to say and be on our guard so that we can defend Christ and tell our friends about him, because some people think that we're just like they were when they were young, just because they may not have been Christians and they may not have been good teenagers, and we can't let that stop us. We need to be recognized for our faith, even if our distractions get in the way. We can't let simple things like rejection or fear or our distractions ourselves get in the way. We need to like stand up to those and just rip them off and throw them away, because they're not going to be important in the end. What's important is how God feels about us, and that's the only thing that's going to get us anywhere. Don't let your dreams be killed by the media. Just get out there, wake up, and let your light shine. We can be a light to the people who don't know God or know anything about him, because people who don't know God don't even have a chance. They, like, if they don't know about God, how are they supposed to live lives for God? And we also need to help our fellow believers to stay on track and stay in Christ. We learned a while ago, Val showed us a video called Accountability Linebacker, and he challenged us to
get a friend and be accountable for each other. So whenever we get off track, we can, you know, just push the other one in the right direction and get us going the right way again. Just don't be afraid. When you share God's word with other people, you're saving their lives. Like, you may not know it, but you're giving them eternal life in heaven, and that's the most important thing that you can do for the people around you.
This is kind of like a last-minute throw-in. I was really debating on about talking about this, you know, because it's kind of like a really sensitive matter for myself. But never take every opportunity you can to talk about Christ. You know, don't put him on the back burner. And don't say, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it the next day. I'm going to do it 15 minutes from now. Do it when you have that opportunity, and make opportunities to talk about him. Like, I know personally, DeMarcus Levinson, he was one of my best friends in the entire world. I've known him since, like, seventh grade. Went through everything together, got into trouble together, studied together, did everything we could together in high school and stuff. And constantly, he'd always be like, hey, man, do you want to show me the Bible? Do you want to talk about God? Because he was itching to find God, and he knew that he needed something in his life. He had that hole. And his older brother, Messiah, was he's one of the leaders of the Crip gangs in Portland. And I was tied up with him, and I was tied up with – he and his brother and I were tied up together. And every time I'd talk to DeMarcus, I'd be like, man, I'd be like, I can't talk about this with you right now. Not right now, man. Like, I don't want people to look at me and everything. And every time we'd sit down, we'd start to get that little conversation. It's almost like DeMarcus would pop up, Steve would pop up, one of our buddies would pop up and be like, don't bring Jesus around here, man. Like, you don't need that. You need it. The only thing you need to protect you is in the trunk of your car right now. You know, that's what's going to keep you safe in the streets. Not no prayer, no Jesus or anything, you know. And, you know, like, long story short, like, we took our steps away from the lifestyle that we had chosen and everything. Again, we tried to go straight. I started coming back to church. He moved to Miami to live with his aunt and everything. And, we still talked on a regular basis up until the day he was killed, you know. And he constantly kept asking me, dude, let's talk about God. But every time I'd be on the phone with him, I'd be around Steve, and I'd start to talk about that. And there are multiple times where Steve would hang up my phone and just be like, don't bring him around, dude. Don't talk about God around me. I don't believe in him. And July 19th, 2007, it was a Sunday morning. I was going to be in church, but I decided to stay home. And I remember I called my mom crying, screaming, they shot Demo. They shot Demo. He's dead. And, you can never take, it's never too late to talk to anybody about God, and you need to take that chance, because of that, you know, I'm gonna have to own up for that, for saying in front of God, you know, hey man, I was scared to talk about you, I was ashamed to talk about you to my friend, and now for that, I don't know where he ended up, you know, and where it came to, you know, I'm sorry, hold up, you know, I gotta pay that consequence now, because my boy's dead, and I gotta deal with that every day in my life, that, you know, I had the opportunity to talk about God to him, but I never took it because I was ashamed. I'm like, we can't be ashamed. We got to let our voice be heard.
So we're going to close with a song that most of you probably won't know, but we're going to play it through. And then, are we doing it a second time? Did we decide?
I don't know what you decided. I'm going to call a timeout for a minute.
Well, I'm not closing yet then. Hold on.
This is where I'll step in and take a little liberties. We went to the Choir of the Fire, and part of this has stemmed from, well, at the Choir of the Fire, they always do a drama of the year. And the drama this year was called the Bema. How many of you know what the Bema is? Give us a little bit. Openly share with us. What is your understanding of the Bema? Oh, okay. Who you are then?
But, you know, basically, we're going to have to answer for our lives and our choices, and we do need to take the opportunities we get in life, because if we don't, then people will pass and we won't have that opportunity.
All right. I'm going to call you by name. Pastor Frank, you had your hand up, but can you share with some of us a little of your understanding of the family, just real briefly if possible?
Once we accept the Lord as our Lord and Savior, we have salvation. However, throughout life, there are times where we make choices and we don't ask forgiveness for those choices. We don't correct our error. And so we are all going to stand before the Lord explaining those things that we have done wrong in our lives, even though it may not affect our salvation, but we're going to have to be held accountable for what we've done.
And as a youth, even before I left, we were discussing, are we going to talk about it or not talk about it? It's a very controversial subject on talking about the Bema. The idea is, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you make it into heaven. There's no doubt about it. Okay, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But once you're in heaven, there is the thing of going before God and being accountable for the things you do or do not do. And as Frankie kind of shared, he knows that when the time comes and Christ returns and he goes up to heaven, he's going to have to stand before God and be held accountable for not sharing with his friend. We're all accountable to that if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's what the Bema is about. It is the second judgment of God, if you want to call it that. It was a Greek word. And in the Greek, what they did was, in athletic events, you're all running. And the judge had the Bema seat, and the judge would sit there, and he would watch the finish line to see who had crossed the finish line first. That's where it all stems from. And what our youth, the one standing here and someone's heart, what they're doing is they are committing themselves to doing what it takes to run the race of Christ, and to do everything they can to reach their generation, to reach out to people everywhere they are, take every opportunity they can to share Jesus Christ. And they want to close with a song. I'm not even sure what song it is, really. But Tim's got it queued up. We don't have the music for it because they picked it this morning. We don't have the music for it. But Tim will put the words up there, and he's got the thing there. And what we want to do is, we've been challenged. When we were at By the Fire, we were challenged to live our life. To live our lives and to make a difference. And they want to challenge you. Can nod your heads yes or no. They want to challenge you to help support them and to help them reach their generation and do what it takes. I'm a sellout. I'm a sellout for God and a sellout to them, and I'll do whatever it takes to help support them.